Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, November 10th, 2022. Don't be jealous of how tan I am. It is November 10th. It's like 70 degrees. I think we have like maybe one more day of this. Tomorrow we're getting like 2.5 inches of rain and then it is cold and bleak. So I am taking advantage of polo weather while I still can. But anyway, I'd like to thank you for joining us. Whether you're watching this live or on demand, we are a Youngstown Studio production. So on today's show, we're going to have actually two completely separate shows today. So this stream will be one feed. We're going to go over some sports news and notes, Cleveland Browns specific to the Miami Dolphins preview this coming weekend. We're also going to talk a little bit of the Cleveland Cavaliers, some local high school football stuff from Northeast Ohio. But we're mainly going to focus a lot on the Cleveland Browns versus the Miami Dolphins this coming weekend. On our second show, which will be right around 4:30, we're going to feature Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts, which is 24/7 Sports. He will join us, and that will be a strictly Ohio State show at 4:30 coming up. So tune in for that. So let's get started with some news and notes around the sports world, just checking in on a few things, and then we're going to get right into the Cleveland Browns right after that. So first of all, congratulations goes out. If you're a Cleveland sports fan, whether you know this name or not, you need to get familiar with this guy, Chris Antonetti. He is the Major League Baseball Executive of the Year, leading the Guardians, the youngest team in baseball. I think I've said that probably 500 times throughout this baseball season, but no one expected this Guardians team, Cleveland Indians team, whatever you still want to say, the Tribe, no one expected this team to be as successful as they were. So congratulations go out to Chris Antonetti, the Executive of the Year. Also around the sports world, coming up really soon is the World Cup. This usually happens in the summer. However, since it's happening in, I believe it's called Qatar, which is in the Middle East, it is so freaking hot in the summer, they wouldn't be able to do it. It'd be like 120 degrees. So they're doing it in November. So that will be coming up very, very soon here. The USA finalized its roster for the World Cup. We'll check in with that in a few weeks towards Thanksgiving. Nike has dropped completely Kyrie Irving after his remarks and just some of the stupid stuff he has said over the past couple weeks. Whether you know you, well, no one I know agrees with it, but let's just say Kyrie Irving is a great basketball player who says and does some silly things off the court. So you know, shame on him, and he's going to end up losing a ton of money from Nike, from other endorsement deals and whatnot. So again, don't want to make this too political, but you know, Kyrie Irving is definitely being punished, not just on the court being suspended by the Nets, but off the court with Nike and several endorsement deals, and rightfully so. Other legal troubles for an NFL owner, Dan Snyder, is in a bunch of hot water with the Washington Commanders, formerly the Washington Redskins, and he's probably going to have to face some charges here coming up soon. And by all accounts, it sounds like he may have to sell the team, and there will be people bidding on that team left and right, being in Washington, D.C., or right outside in Northern Virginia. But I'm guessing like a Bezos from Amazon, you could see a bunch of people putting in bids. So we will see how that all, you know, fares. Brittany Griner, again, this is a contentious issue, a very political issue. But Brittany Griner, you all know, like she was caught with some cannabis oil in her suitcase in the offseason. She plays for a Russian national team and was arrested, convicted for 9 years up in prison. And obviously the U.S. and Russia are trying to make some trade deals, haven't figured that quite out. But she has been sent to a penal section of the Russian prison. So not good there for her. And then just one other note from Major League Baseball. Free agency is set to begin, so you're going to see big names, Aaron Judge, and plenty others on the free agent market. So we'll see if the Yankees re-sign him, and you know, just a lot of movements and trades to be made here very, very soon. All right, let's get into the Cleveland Browns versus the Miami Dolphins. I have some really interesting stuff to share with you about the Browns and Dolphins coming up, but let's get into the basic kind of boring stuff first. First of all, the Browns 3-5, the Dolphins 6-3. The Dolphins lead the all-time series with the Browns 11-9. The last matchup, the Browns, as I mentioned, 41-24 winners in 2019. The Dolphins are 6-0 in games where Tua starts and finishes the game, and the Browns are 1-2 on the road this season. The Browns, their first win of the season at Carolina was their lone road win, and the Dolphins are 3-1 at home this season. So that's kind of the basics. Let's get into it, and I want to start first with some reason for optimism for the Cleveland Browns. Now, I want to thank I'm gonna just cite him on Twitter at Dollar Dog Nick on Twitter. Put this out there, and this was one of the funniest things I saw yesterday. Kevin Stefanski, Joe, you'll love this. Kevin Stefanski is 11-0 against teams named after animals that can't fly. So let's look into this a little bit more. He's 5-0 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Can a Bengal fly? Yeah. No. He is 1-0 versus the Indianapolis Colts. Do horses fly unless they're a unicorn? No. He is 1-0 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars, to my knowledge, do not fly. The Chicago Bears, he is 1-0. Do Bears fly? Nah, too heavy. Can't get off the ground that much. So 1-0 there. The Denver Broncos, another horse. We all know horses, unless you're, like I said, unicorn, Pegasus, whatever you want to say, can't fly. The Detroit Lions last year beat them 1-0. Lions do not fly. And the Carolina Panthers, 1-0 versus the Carolina Panthers. Now, obviously, we know we've had ups and downs versus the Baltimore Ravens. A raven is a bird. Birds fly. The Cardinals last year lost to them. Cardinal is a bird. Birds fly. You get the deal. But who do we play this weekend? The Miami Dolphins. Is a dolphin an animal?
It is.
Do dolphins fly?
Well, it depends. If you watch
Hitchhiker's the answer is no, Joe.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, they fly. And they say, thanks for all the fish.
In our world, dolphins do not fly. So I thought that was a great little stat there. Kevin Stefanski, 11-0 versus teams with an animal mascot that does not fly. So let's make it 12-0 this weekend. Another reason for optimism. So we mentioned, you know, the Dolphins and the whole animal thing. Kevin Stefanski is also 2-0 after a bye week. So he has more time to prep. Their advanced analytics people, the coaches, you know, get after it a little bit more. Players get some time off to rest and hopefully, you know, game plan and prep a little bit more. Maybe you throw in a trick play or two this weekend. So we'll see about that. Let's see if that holds true and goes to 3-0. Then we look ahead a little bit. The Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is dealing with a very nagging injury right now. Could possibly have to have Tommy John surgery. But right now, the Bills initially said he is day-to-day. Now he is week-to-week. So that's something to keep an eye on, because if the Buffalo Bills are a great team, probably Super Bowl favorites. However, if you take Josh Allen out of the mix, could be a rough, you know, throwing in Case Keenum. But interestingly enough, the Bills play the Vikings this weekend, they play the Browns next weekend, and I believe they play the Denver Broncos the weekend after that. And all three of those teams are the teams Case Keenum, the Browns' former backup quarterback, now the Bills' former current backup, has played for all those teams. So it could be a Case Keenum tour versus his old team if Josh Allen is unable to go, and he will not play this weekend as of now. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we all know their struggles. So these are the next four games, obviously, for the Cleveland Browns. So Dolphins, at Dolphins, at Bills, home for Tampa, Tom Brady. And again, these are not my words, but I'm sharing this from, this was Barstool Cleveland. Tom Brady lost his witch wife and is now cursed. Or we could just say he's 45. He took some time off. His offensive line is banged up. They can't run the ball. So reasons for optimism there. And then obviously at the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson will return for that game. And Houston may be the worst team in the NFL. So, Joe, where's your optimism level for the Cleveland Browns as it stands on November 10th?
I am so jaded, my friend. Yep. I don't know if there is any. Like, I'm just a passenger to see, you know, maybe if I stop paying attention, the dumpster fire will put itself out.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And I think sometimes it's like some weeks it feels like it's going to be like a train wreck, but you can't look away. But like you said, maybe sometimes it's good to like just step back, step away for a little bit, and maybe good things will happen. So I don't know.
I think whenever they're out of contention, there's no more pressure. They don't have people saying this is your year. Maybe they relax into it. They find themselves around the same time that Watson comes back.
And I kind of feel like that's what's happening with the defense right now. I feel like the defense, was really getting beat up in the media and stuff after the first couple of weeks, blown coverages, missed assignments, blowing leads, all this and that. Even against Carolina, they blew that lead and it took a last second field goal to beat them. And obviously we know what happened with the Jets and the Chargers and whatnot. But, this defense, I feel like, is coming around. So my optimism level, I'm going to say, is at a 5.5. Ooh. A little bit higher than average, but I'm still not quite ready to take the next step. If they somehow can beat the Dolphins, and they're not a huge underdog, they're like a 3.5-point underdog. We'll get to that in a minute. But if they could beat the Dolphins and get to 4-6, you know, and Deshaun Watson comes back, those last six games are all very winnable. So I think your goal is 9-7. Now I need to say 9-8. But if you can get him back, and obviously 10 wins is the goal. But if you can get to 9-8, the way the AFC is like kind of cannibalizing itself this year, you could possibly work your way into the playoffs. But the Baltimore Ravens, unfortunately, have one of the easiest remaining schedules in the NFL. They've kind of got through their tough portion and they're kind of like hitting their stride. So it's going to be hard to win the division with Baltimore. So and
they're an animal that flies. So
and they are what's going to happen. We do get them at home, and Stefanski has beat them in the past, although he is not undefeated against them because they fly. So
the Steelers. So I didn't get to see the injury report. I mean, obviously, off of the bye, are we getting anybody back? I saw that Denzel Ward was probably.
Denzel Ward has, they said he's met all the steps in the concussion protocol. So he looks to be able to play, which is huge because we're going to talk about these Dolphins wide receivers in a minute. They are legit freaks and they're going to need all hands on deck in the secondary. So he is back. I know David Njoku is really pushing to get back, but he might still be a week away. So I'm going to just say he's questionable at this point. Who else? Wyatt Teller appears to be back, which is a good sign for the running game.
Jack Conklin,
I think, is okay. He had mentioned, he was in and out of the lineup, but I think he's okay and good to go. So the big ones for me are, obviously is Jadeveon Clowney, because he seems to be on the injury report every week. Right. You never know if he's going to practice or play or whatever. So Jadeveon Clowney. If we can make sure he's healthy in there, and if we can get David Njoku, that's a huge jolt to the offense. But Harrison Bryant, I don't know if he had a reception last game, but held his own in the run game with blocking and stuff like that. So
I saw David Bell in practice. He looked pretty spirited. Yeah, I think we're gonna have a good game.
And I think that bye week, and building up to Watson coming back and opening up the passing game a little bit, could be a nice stride for him, because a lot of times rookies, and he missed a lot of training camp take a little bit to acclimate to the NFL game as opposed to the college game. So if we can get him in stride and be that solid number three receiver we've kind of been lacking this whole year, that would be fantastic. So we'll see what the injury report says and who's active and who's not on Sunday. But obviously, Denzel Ward, getting him back is huge. Teller, getting him back is huge, literally and physically. And then we'll see about Njoku. Those are the big ones. JOK is another one. I feel like he is not going to play, and I don't really know what it is. Okay. But I think it's a knee. But if he can play, that would obviously be very large too. So,
and we can play a game too on the sideline. See how long into the game before you can spot Anthony Swartz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, half the time, last couple games, I think he's been an active, healthy scratch. Mm. So, you know, if he's not doing anything in practice, it's like, don't even make the trip to Miami, right, man. So
the weather's nice,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, yeah, you guys didn't buy me a plane ticket. Come on. So we'll see where we're at with Schwartz.
Airfare's expensive, Anthony.
It is. It's very expensive, especially when you're chartering. So Joe, let's put the schedule up here, and I'm gonna just like take an overlook on the right-hand side. So we know what's been done already. Take a look on the right-hand side of what is still left. So Dolphins, so at Dolphins, at Bills, home for Buccaneers, at Texans, at the Bengals, home for Baltimore, and home for New Orleans. And then you finish it out with at Washington and at Pittsburgh. So 9 games left. Give me your 1, 2, and 3 toughest games on that schedule by your opinion.
Oh, man. So I'm going to go with Buffalo for sure.
Okay.
Then I'll go with the Ravens.
Okay. I think, man, those are both good choices.
I don't know. I don't know what the third would be.
I think the third might be this week.
You think so?
I think it might be this week against the Dolphins. Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, you got, you know, 2 of the 3 toughest games in my opinion, in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then you get a little bit of a reprieve there with Tampa Bay.
But, you know, with Tampa Bay, they look down right now. They're 4-5, which they still have a better record than we do. And they still have Tom Brady. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like, maybe he figures out what's going on. Maybe they get healthy. I don't know. And then we'll see. We'll see what happens. So Joe and I kind of both agree. The Bills, the Dolphins, and the Ravens are probably the 3 toughest games. We're not even including the AFC champions Bengals, because we just kind of handled them. But we'll see what happens down there. But again, they don't fly. So maybe that's
sure a thing.
So actually, let's go through the rest of the schedule and see which animals fly and which don't. Okay. So Dolphins don't fly. Sometimes. That's a win.
Sometimes.
That's a win. Bills don't fly.
Do not fly.
Okay. Tampa, not an animal. Houston Texans, are we counting the Longhorn thing as an animal?
Sure.
Okay, because Texans are kind of like people, but people don't fly. So all right, 3. Bengals don't fly. 4. All right. Ravens, that's a loss. They fly. The Saints, nope. That doesn't count. Washington Commanders, oh, they fly, but they're not an animal.
I don't know what a commander is.
A commander, I think, is like a commander of like a pilot, like a commander in the military. Okay. That's what I would assume. I don't know. Maybe we can look into that.
No, I'm not gonna.
And then the Steelers, not an animal, don't fly. So okay, so we got at least 4 wins on that schedule. So we'll see. So that's 7 for sure, and we'll see where we go from there. All right. Let's get back to a little bit of the nitty gritty, the kind of the boring stuff, but important stuff. The Browns offense and defensive ranks throughout the season. About halfway through the season, the Browns are 5th in offense, yardage allowed. Yardage gained, 15th in yards allowed. They are the 3rd best team rushing the ball, 165. The top 2 teams are the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens, both who have running quarterbacks. They allow 123 yards per game, which is 22nd best. Passing, kind of both right in the middle, 221. They throw 4 a game, and they give up about 208 yards a game, which is 15th best, which is not too bad. But look at the points differential on this. They score 25 points a game, which is seventh best in the entire league. They give up 24.9 points a game, which is 24th best in the NFL. So the point differential based on their entire scores this year is 0.1.
Yes.
You know, crazy. And if you're a Browns fan, you know it's going to be a close game generally most of the time. The only game that's kind of an outlier this year is the Patriots beat us up a little bit. Well, I guess we beat up the Bengals. The Patriots beat up us up. So you take those two games out, the rest have been pretty close. So that's where we're at. All right, let's get to know. We're going to have a little fun with this. I'm going to start with the boring stuff, and then we're going to get to the fun stuff with the Miami Dolphins. So Miami Dolphins, offensive kind of report card. So they are sixth best with in the NFL, so right above the Browns, 380 yards on offense per game. They only rush the ball for 87 yards a game, which is 29th in the NFL. However, flip that coin, they are second in passing yards per game, 294 yards per game passing the ball. And then they are the 11th best scoring team in the NFL, 23.7 points a game. On defense, they are a defense that has some really nice players. However, they can be had on the defensive side of the ball. So they give up 363 yards per game, which is 22nd in the NFL. They allow about 117 rushing yards per game, which is right in the middle of the pack, 16th. They allow 246 yards passing per game, which is 23rd. And they allow 24.9 points a game, which is 24th. So chances are this game is in Miami. You're going to have nice weather. The hurricane will be through, or the tropical storm. The Browns are up there in scoring. The Dolphins are up there in scoring. And, you know, both of these teams have high flying offenses, you know, per se. So
I see what you did there.
Yeah. High flying, although Dolphins can jump out of the water, but they cannot fly. So that is a very thematic thing for this show today. But I'm going to throw some interesting stats here for you. What the Dolphins have done this year so far. So, do you believe in trends? Yes or no? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. If you're a math person, a numbers person like me, you might believe in trends. So the Dolphins are 6-3 this year. They won their first three games. They lost their next three games, and they've won their last three games. So is another three-game losing streak possibly in store? I don't know, but let's start them off with going 0-1 this weekend and see what happens. Now, Tyreek Hill. Huge pickup in the offseason, traded first round draft pick for him for the Kansas City Chiefs, comes in, has not missed the step. Arguably the fastest player in the NFL. He has the most receiving yards in the NFL through nine games in its history. So just unbelievable. He has five games this year of 140 yards or more, which is just crazy. It's just crazy talk. Jalen Waddle, who is another Dolphins wide receiver, their number two receiver, the former, I think he was top 10 pick in last year's draft, is fifth in the NFL in receiving yardage. With Joe's throwing some dolphin images at me, and I'm just cracking up over here. So
I'm just trying to distract you. That's my job.
Well, wait for this coming up here in a minute. But Jalen Waddle also has four straight games of 80 or more receiving yards, which is also pretty crazy. And the two teammates combined, so both Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, the last four games. Combined have 988 yards and four touchdowns, which is just unheard of in the NFL. So maybe the best duo of NFL wide receivers in a season, maybe ever. So I would be interested to know, like, you know, Jerry Rice, John Taylor, you know, you throw out some big names there and see if they are, if anyone's
flying.
Better.
Look.
They are not flying.
Look.
That is CGI or whatever.
They went up into space. I had
so
to prove it to you.
Here's my commentary on Dolphins. Do you know, I looked this up beforehand, so I know the answer. Do you know what the fastest dolphin can swim is about miles per hour?
40.
You're close. 35. Nice. 35 miles an hour. That's moving. Top speed. And I mean, think they're underwater. There's resistance. 35 miles an hour. Do you know what the biggest, this is a trick question, the biggest dolphin on Earth is? This is a trick question because it's not called a dolphin.
What's like a whale? Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah.
It's an orca whale. So like okay. Shamu.
Yeah. You know?
Biggest whales or what biggest they, dolphin like out there.
30 feet, 20 feet?
They're freaking huge. Yeah. So, and they're mean. They get after it. They're one of a shark's only natural predators. So here's some interesting. Now, the Browns have gotten a lot of baggage, let's say, this year with the Deshaun Watson pickup. But, I mean, have the Dolphins got any flack? Because there are – Dolphins are the only other animal besides humans. Now, I don't want to get too Cinemax porny on here, but the Dolphins are the only other animal on Earth besides humans that mate for pleasure. Not just mate to procreate. But there are apparently between 5 to 15 dolphin rape attempts on humans per year. Did you know that?
I did not.
So not all dolphins are cute and cuddly.
Interesting.
Some dolphins carry STDs. Maybe someone the Miami Dolphins roster. And there's many dolphins that torture their food before eating it. Did you know that?
I did not.
So orcas are one of them. So yeah, they can hunt in packs. They're probably one of the smartest mammals out there. But just thought I'd throw some food for thought on you.
Let me do this one. This might be your Cinemax version of it. But when they do brain studies, in order to do their studies, they have to first masturbate the dolphin in order to do that. How would you like that if that was your job? Like, hey, Bob, you're coming in today. We got to test the intelligence of a dolphin. Here's your part. What do you have to do?
First of all, what are the qualifications needed? Like when you go to apply for the job, are you a dolphin masturbator?
Yeah. That's my business card. I am the dolphin masturbator.
And second question, follow up. In the interview, I'd have to ask this, what does this job pay? Because, I mean, if I'm doing that, it's got to be a lot of money. But I'm probably saying, okay, thanks for the, you know, I'm going to head out. I'm going to go to the zoo down the street. I didn't go to marine biology school for this.
I don't even know how smart they are that bad.
Exactly. All right, Joe, let's talk a little better or worse. Oh, man, this dolphin talk is... insane. I can't wait till we play our next animal team, which is the Bills. So I'm going to have to look up some interesting thing on some Buffalo Bills next week. All right.
That one's probably not as interesting.
No. Definitely not as interesting as Dolphins. All right. So Dolphins this week, they are currently favored. And this was at last check. This is via BetMGM. They are currently a 3.5-point favorite. The over under at last check, this was, this afternoon, late morning, early afternoon, 48.5 points is the total. So Dolphins, Browns, 48.5. If you bet the Browns to win straight up, you'd win $155 on a $100 bet. If you bet the Dolphins, you'd have to bet $190 to get to win $100 additionally. Now, Joe, I'm going to just go over with three over-unders with you here.
Okay.
So Tua Tagovailoa and Jacoby Brissett are the starting quarterbacks in this game. We know the Browns can throw it a little bit here and there. You got some decent weapons. You got Amari Cooper, maybe Njoku. You got Donovan Peoples-Jones, David Bell. But we all know the Dolphins have major weapons. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. Gesicki's a good tight end for them. 4.5 over-under touchdowns combined by both quarterbacks.
Oh, way over.
Okay. Yeah. I like the over in that too. I think it's going to be like 6. Yeah. So hopefully it's like 3-3 or I don't think I'd have to look into how many Jacoby has thrown his most in a game this year. I can't imagine it's more than 2, but I think this is a game they can get after it a little bit. So Joe and I are both going to go over 4.5 touchdowns thrown by both quarterbacks combined. Nick Chubb rushing yards this week, 84.5.
Man, we just said they're going to be passing a lot, and now I'm going to give my boy over 100 yards rushing. I'm going to still go rushing. Yeah.
Nick Chubb, number one in the league. Well, actually, I'll show you a stat in a minute. He's actually number 2 in the league in total rushing yards now behind Derrick Henry, but I'll show you some eye-opening stats here in a minute. And Amari Cooper receiving 60.5 receiving yards. You're going under? Yeah. I'm going to go over on this one. So Joe and I both agree on 4.5 over, 84.5 over rushing yards. But Joe's going to go over, or I'm sorry, under 60.5. I'm going to go over 60.5 for Amari Cooper receiving yards. Now, we look into the totals for the Browns. Here's their leaders going into week 9. Nick Chubb has 10 touchdowns, 841 rushing yards. Brissett, 1,862 passing yards. Amari Cooper, 553. Grant Delpit, surprisingly, is the leading tackler at 48. You do not want your safety being your leading tackler. We need our linebackers to step it up and some of our defensive linemen. Miles Garrett does have 7.5 sacks to lead the team, which is great, and he did miss that Atlanta game and obviously was in a car accident, which was not ideal. And then we only have 3 interceptions on the season. So A.J. Green, Denzel Ward, and Grant Delpit each have 1 apiece. So, force some turnovers this weekend will be the name of the game. And the Browns are one of those teams that practice that more than any other team in the practice setting.
But I'm thinking their interceptions always came at critical times in the game.
They did. They did. Yeah, that's true. Especially that Baker Mayfield one week one. That was fantastic. Yep. All right, let's look at the AFC North this week and last week. So last week, the Baltimore Ravens got the win over the New Orleans Saints. This week, they are on bye. Last week, the Bengals just beat up the Carolina Panthers. This week, they're on bye. So half of the AFC North on bye this weekend. The Browns were on bye last weekend. We know they play Miami this weekend. And the Steelers last weekend were on bye. This weekend, they will take on the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints are a 1.5-point favorite in that game at the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right. So I mentioned Nick Chubb. Let me just show you some pretty awesome numbers and what he has done this season. So 149 attempts so he has 841 yards in those 149 attempts, which is 5.6 yards per rush. He is only 29 yards behind the league leader Derrick Henry, and he's taken 34 less carries than Derrick Henry. So that just shows you're getting the quality on each and every rush out of Nick Chubb. So you're getting the quality over quantity. But again, the Browns fans will tell you need to run the ball more. And, we'll see what happens there. 10 touchdowns for Nick Chubb, which leads the NFL, and also leads the NFL with 9 rushes of 20 or more yards this season. Pretty amazing. And Joe, I'm going to just keep doing this as long as it holds true. But did you know the Browns are 3-0 when Nick Chubb rushes the ball for 20 times or more, and they are 0-5 when he rushes for less or carries the ball 20 times or less. So
did the non-rushing cause the loss, or did the loss cause the non-rushing?
That's a great philosophical question. Mm. I think in that Patriots game, they got so far behind so early that they just stopped rushing. And it's like, you know, when you get the Browns are a great play from ahead team. They're not a great come from behind team. So if the Browns can get a lead, establish the run, they are lethal and they are tough to beat. But if you get let's say you get a 2-score lead on them, it's going to be tough for the Browns to come back. So, they need to play hard, physical, smart football. And, that's just, the way until Watson comes back, especially because then he can maybe pull out a few more tricks than, Jacoby has with his superior talent. So,
yeah, we'll now, honestly, I like that both Kareem and Nick get more than 2 yards per run. They really turn it on and get, 5-6 yards per.
Yeah. Run. And you rarely see them like get hit in the backfield and just go down. Right. Yeah. Normally it's like, even if they're hit like 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage, they'll fall forward and get back to the line of scrimmage. Right. And so they might not be, breaking these 70, 80 yard runs, but they're consistently just piling up hits on the defense and moving that football, which is so huge. Yep. So let's flip it to our best defensive player, Myles Garrett. And look what he is first in the NFL. He is the highest graded player on pro football focus this entire season, a 93.7 pass rushing grade, which is first in the NFL, 41 pressures, which is first in the NFL, 27.4% win percentage on, you know, rushing the passer, and 19 points. So basically he is winning, you know, a quarter of the snaps involved. So he is a game wrecker, is a good term for Nick Chubb, or for, well, both Nick Chubb, but also Myles Garrett. So he can really take that offensive game plan and crush it like he did against the Bengals. So we need that Myles Garrett week in, week out, and he'd have a claim for defensive player of the year. But,
and you know, that stat there makes your opponent play differently, mm-hmm. and they gang up and they leave other players open to, you know, get in there and wreck things too.
No doubt.
So it's amazing.
No doubt. That's exactly right. And if Tua is rushed and has to make a few errant throws, maybe the secondary picks him off, you're also not giving those receivers for Miami more time to get open, because we know how freakishly good they are. So the more pressure he can get, Clowney can get, the defensive tackles can get, the better it is going to be for the secondary.
If we don't hit our over, it's because of that dude right there. That's
agreed.
The only way.
Agreed. All right, let's go to your two-headed monster here with I hate the saying chunt. It just sounds so dirty, but Chubb and Hunt put together.
After we masturbate dolphins, you're going to get hung up on Chubb.
Let's not say we here, Joe. I haven't been hired and nor applied for that job. Let's not throw me into that. Joe just spit his water out. Whoever thought dolphin masturbation would be a topic on this show?
It wasn't in your notes?
It was not. No, but fantastic stuff. All right, let's talk about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. So
help us out, and I want dolphin masturbation to trend on Twitter tonight, so please
hashtag dolphin masturbation. The 330 sports show will be the number one podcast based on dolphin masturbation in the world.
There's not a lot of competition in that space.
No. So we already talked to you about what Nick Chubb has done this season. He also had 10 receptions to that. You look at Kareem Hunt's number, 77 carries, 305 yards, 4 yards per carry, which isn't great, but he is a lot of times in those short yardage or goal line situations where you're not going to pick up huge chunks, but he's going to get the job done. He has 3 rushing touchdowns this year, 19 receptions for 117 yards, and also 1 receiving touchdown. So Nick Chubb loves this guy. I don't know. They say they're best friends. You don't know the relationship behind the scenes, but by all accounts, this is going to be a really good thing for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt going forward. And Kareem Hunt is in a contract year, so we want him to earn that money, whether it's playing for the Browns next year or playing for another team. But if he can prove it and put up some huge numbers the rest of the season, or just consistent quality numbers, that would be good. All right, let's just look at a few more players for the Browns here. Amari Cooper at the midway point, leading receiver, 39 receptions, 553 yards, 14.2 yards per catch, and 5 touchdowns on the season for the Browns' number one wide receiver. All right, let's go through the NFL slate this weekend. And, you know, I'm made my picks already. They're on this sheet. You'll see them. Joe, we'll spend about basically one sentence, one thought on each game and go through it. So I'm going with tonight with the Falcons over the Panthers. I think the Falcons are a superior team. They're not a great team, but they're a better team. And the Panthers are possibly playing for the number one pick overall. So what do you say?
Yeah, I'm going with Falcons. The Panthers are just hurting.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. On Sunday in Germany at 9:30 a.m., you have the Seahawks at, technically at the Buccaneers. That counts as a home game for Tampa. But I'm going to go with the Seahawks, who have been one of the league's most surprising teams this year. Joe, what do you think?
I'm with you. Good reason other than Seattle's a better superior team.
Maybe it's good with Tom Brady getting out of the country. You know, I don't know. We'll see. But they will be playing that game. I'm not sure what city, if it's in Berlin or Munich or whatever, but that game is in Germany.
I heard Giselle bought the house right across the street from Tom Brady, She can watch it while he's in Germany.
I saw this fun fact that said if Giselle gets half of Tom Brady's Super Bowl rings, she would have 3, which would be more than any other quarterback in the league, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right, we have the Lions at the Bears. Oh, my. No Tigers involved in this game, but I'm going to go with the Bears. Justin Fields has been playing amazing. The Lions are really, really struggling right now after putting up some big numbers on offense this season, so I'm going to go with the Bears.
Bears concur exactly with you.
All right, we're 3-for-3 on picks. I'm going to go with the Browns just based on, like I said, I've picked the Browns this year to win. I've picked them to lose, and half the time I'm right, half the time I'm wrong, so might as well pick the Browns and see what happens. But I think the Browns will cover this game for sure, but I like the Browns to win straight up. Joe?
All right, Browns, same thing, because I am a glutton for punishment.
No doubt. All right, Broncos at the Titans. For no other reason than Russell Wilson is weird, and I really like Mike Vrabel as a head coach. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans.
I'm going to go with you because I don't care about either one of them.
All right, man, we are exact here. I am picking the Minnesota Vikings to beat the Buffalo Bills, who lost last week to the Jets. The Bills, I believe, are still the betting favorites, but Minnesota going into Buffalo with a high-flying offense. They have a great record, too. And Buffalo is probably without Josh Allen, so for that reason, I'm going Minnesota.
Until you said that last part, I was going to go Buffalo, but I'm with you, the Vikings.
All right, Joe and I on the first 100% column, 100% equal. No, rarely happens. The Titans at, which means everyone should bet the total opposite, and you'll probably win. Yeah. On Sunday, Titans at the Giants. Titans just stink. I'm going Giants.
Yep, Giants too.
All right. Jaguars at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are just too good. I'm going to go Kansas City.
All right, Kansas City. And you said Titans, by the way. He meant Texans. If you're listening.
Oh, sorry. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going Titans. Yeah, so I'm going Chiefs over the Jags.
Same here.
Same here. All right. We are 100%. I am going to go with the Saints as a road. The road team playing at Pittsburgh. I like New Orleans.
All right. I'm going with New Orleans because Pittsburgh's terrible. Like, bad.
I am going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders to beat Jeff Saturday's Colts this weekend. So, Joe, what say you?
I'm going to go with the Colts because of Saturday. It's a cool name.
All right. Very nice. All right. That is our first different pick.
I did it on purpose.
I like it.
I hate the Raiders. I hate them.
Okay. All right. Matt Stafford is in the concussion protocol for the Los Angeles Rams, but I am still going with them. It's a home game, which isn't a huge advantage in LA. But Kyler Murray, I just can't get behind him. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right. I'm going with the Rams too.
Rams. All right. Green Bay at Dallas. Aaron Rodgers. And ever since he went on that, whatever that trip is, where you like, I don't know if it's like psychedelic or whatever, like, seems like he's gone downhill. The Packers offense stinks. He's playing against his former coach in Mike McCarthy. I'm gonna go with the Cowboys.
All right, I'm gonna go with Green Bay just because I hate Dallas too.
Okay. All right,
this is all emotional. Like, I'm not even picking based on any numbers. I just hate the team.
I like it. I like it. That's fine. And these are straight up picks, so you can go with your heart over your head here.
Yeah.
I am gonna go with the 49ers to beat the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. I think 49ers have been up and down this year, but I think the Chargers are kind of banged up, and Herbert has really struggled more so than expected this year. So I'm going 49ers.
49ers as well.
All right. And then Washington at Philadelphia, the last game. That's Monday night. That's, yeah, exactly. No brainer. We're both going Philadelphia. Yeah,
for sure.
All right. Over the Commies. And then bye weeks, we got the Patriots. We have the Bengals, the Ravens, and the New York Jets. So those are the teams on bye. Now, I'm going to really quickly just give you a brief, Ohio State, Buckeyes, Indiana Hoosiers talk, because we have a guest that will be joining our show for a strictly Ohio State 15-minute podcast coming up here at 4:30. But Ohio State opens as a 40-point favorite. I think they're going to take out the frustrations of last weekend's Hurricane game on the Hoosiers and say, "Who's your daddy?" And the over under is 58. So I like the Ohio State to cover and win. And I don't know about the over under. I'm not sure what I think about that. Indiana's last win against the Buckeyes was in 1988. And Ohio State holds a 77-12-5 record on in the school's history. And Indiana won like the first like 10 matchups or something like that. So it's crazy how these have flipped. Also, this is a great did you know. I want to give credit to Doug Le Maurice on this. He works at cleveland.com, but he did the research, and then I went and researched it a little bit more. But this is an amazing did you know, because you would think Ohio State, CJ Stroud, all the great wide receivers would be up in the top 20 at least in passing percentage this year. So based on the number of time Ohio State snaps the ball, you would think they would at least be over 50%, would you? You would be wrong. Ohio State on you know, every single play only attempts a pass on 46.3% of snaps taken, which is to me unbelievable. Mississippi State is the number one at nearly 70%. Michigan is 121st in the country in attempted passes at only 38.5%. We all know they love to run the ball. And then you look at the bottom three schools, they and when I say bottom three schools, it's not like they're the worst passing teams. It just means they attempt the least amount of passes. But it's the service academies, as you may expect. So Army, Navy, and Air Force, 129, 130, and 131. Air Force only attempts a pass on 14% of its offensive plays. So I thought that was a really interesting did you know, and I thought I'd throw that out and wanted to give Doug Le Maurice at Cleveland.com that credit for that. Ohio State only attempts to pass on, I think I mixed that up. I think it's 46.3, not 43.6. So, but either way, still very, very interesting. Let's look at the Big Ten schedule real quick. Indiana, as I mentioned, at number two, Buckeyes, Rutgers at Michigan State, Purdue at Illinois, who dropped to number 21 this week. You got Maryland at Penn State number 14, Northwestern at Minnesota, Nebraska, who will be without its starting quarterback, at number three, Michigan, and Wisconsin at Iowa. That should actually be a really, really good game in the Big Ten West. So we will see what happens with the Big Ten slate there. All right, let's take a look at some of the best matchups of the weekend. I like to throw in a couple ranked versus ranked, but also look at some teams from the 3-3-0. So let's take a look at that for week number 11. You got number 7, LSU. Coming off a huge win, are they possibly you know, a case for an upset or a letdown? We'll see, but they travel to Arkansas. You have number 9, Alabama at number 11, Ole Miss. Alabama is still not completely 100% out of the college football playoff, but they're on life support, let's say. But they have two losses already. You have UCF, Central Florida, at Tulane, who is the number 17 team in the country. You got Washington, the number 25 team in the country, at Oregon, who's the number 6 team. That should be a great matchup. And then a really, really solid matchup coming up. Number 4, TCU, at number 19, Texas. This is a huge, huge game for the Big 12 coming up. You have our Youngstown State Penguins, 6-3 at 3-6, Missouri State. That game is at 3 p.m. Bowling Green, Kent State just beat up Bowling Green last night. In Maction, and then Akron lost to Eastern Michigan 34-28 on Tuesday. Mount Union, who is now the number 1 team in Division 3, is 9-0, and they will travel to play Baldwin Wallace this coming weekend. So that is some teams from the 3-3-0 and some of the best matchups coming up this weekend in college football. Now, final thought before we start our 4:30 show with Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts. Let's just take a look at some of the best games from not the best games, but most of the games in the OHSAA playoffs. We have, I believe it's 7 local teams still alive. So I'm going to just give you my picks for each game through each region. So Division 1, Region 1, St. Ed's. I like them to beat St. Ignatius. I like Medina to beat Menor and have a St. Ed's versus Medina regional final matchup. In Division Two, I like Akron Hoban to beat Akron St. Vincent St. Mary's, and I like Hudson to beat Riverside. So you're going to have a Hoban-Hudson matchup, in my opinion. In Division Two, Region Six, Avon, I like to beat Olmsted Falls, and I like Toledo Central Catholic to beat Highland to set up an Avon-Toledo Central Catholic matchup. In Division Two, Region Seven, Massillon, Washington, I like them to beat Sunbury, which is in like Delaware, just north of Columbus. And then I like Westerville South to knock off Lake. In Division Three, Region Nine, this is very important for teams in our area. I like Chardon to beat Kenston. And then we have Canfield versus Ursuline. I like Canfield to beat Ursuline in two of our better local team matchups to get to the regional finals and, you know, get back and most likely play Chardon, who is year in, year out really good. I like Holy Name to beat Mansfield Senior in Division Three, Region 10. Padua to defeat Norton. And that's also Division Three, Region 10. Division Four, Region 13. Local team, West Branch. I like West Branch to knock off Akron Buchtel. I like Canton South to knock off Jefferson Area. In Division Four, Region 14, I like Glenville to beat Elyria Catholic. In Division 5, Region 17, I like South Range to knock off Mooney. Obviously, another local game of importance there. I like Sugar Creek Garraway to defeat Perry. And in Division 6, I like Kirtland to defeat Dalton and Mogador to defeat Cuyahoga Heights. And then two more matchups here. Division 6, Region 22, I like Columbia to knock off Ashland Crestview. And I like Warren JFK to defeat Southern Local in another local versus local matchup, Division 7, Region 25. So I'm going to just put out our Cavs information on social media. So I appreciate you guys tuning into our show. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show on social media. And tune in at 4:30 if you like Ohio State Buckeyes. We will put up an interview with Steve Hellwagon, who does a great job for 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts. So for Joe Danier, my name is Justin Coffin. Beware of Dolphins and Browns. Get after them this weekend. Everybody have a great weekend, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content.